Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with kings and queens and people who are going to Zaxby's to get the wings and things. I'm Adrian, as always, here with Paul and Phil. Let's get big factin'.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Paul, it looks like you listened to the last episode. How'd you feel about it in your absence? First non-Paul episode.
I loved it. I thought you did a great job doing our first hard-hitting interview.
I didn't ask the easy
questions. You didn't ask the easy questions. I did feel like my laughter was missing. I think we should have piped that in.
Do you want to give us some clean takes? So we can add it into the next episode.
Say something funny.
Yeah, I would have loved to hear your laughter at Adrian's multiple bald jokes. And be like, wait a second, you kids laugh.
Let's get clean take on someone saying a joke that you think might be a little bit too edgy, but you do think it's kind of funny.
Oh, but you're not going to make the joke. I just have to imagine that situation.
No. Okay. This is a voice acting exercise.
Epstein
I'm not in the North Pole.
Yeah.
Okay, you just needed the laugh.
No, we'll take the joke. We'll take the joke.
That was just repeating the punchline. You don't get the whole joke.
Oh, that makes it much less usable as a generic thing for us to throw in. But you know what? Good point.
Epstein in the North Pole. I like that. But nah, yeah, I didn't know that was the first episode that Paul wasn't on. That was the very first episode you weren't on, Paul?
Yeah, and the only episode Adrian hasn't been on was when me and you did it, Phil.
Oh, wow.
That's great. Oh, by the way, your album showed up in the mail. It cracked wide open.
No, it didn't. For
real? Yeah, the CD isn't crushed, but the case is completely broken.
How much padding did you put in there? And I'm not talking about your writing.
Yeah, how much fluff did I put in there? No, sorry you cracked, though. That's crazy. That's so crazy. I think my ops may have been the delivery people or something. They saw it and they were like, nah, we can't let this be. We can't let the streets hear this first.
Did you send it? What, USPS?
USPS,
FedEx.
Yeah.
Oh.
They did not handle what kid.
Damn.
When I was actually mailing the CDs, because I mailed you one, Paul one, and then I mailed my friend Cam one. And the guy was like, "Today I have 2 months. No way, I have 10 months and 3 days left until I retire." And I'm like, "This guy's really counting down the days." And I see him every single time I go to the post office. I was like, "I'm going to miss you, man. I'm going to miss you." And he's like, "The feeling ain't mutual, kid. Keep it moving. Next window." I'm like, "Window? There's windows here?" He's like, "It's my first day." But yeah, I hope that guy enjoys retirement.
Do you think there's any chance he's going to die on the job 2 days before retirement and get to say, "Damn, I was 2 days from retirement"?
I mean, he obviously is keeping track of the days, so he probably would say that. What else is in the news? You see T.I. and 50 Cent have a beef going?
Why are you doing an opening monologue?
What, have you seen about this? Have you heard about this?
Wait, no, I didn't know. What are T.I. and 50 Cent beefing about?
It seems like 50 Cent is beefing with somebody new like every week, but T.I. and 50 Cent...
And at a certain point, you have to be like, maybe you're the problem.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
50 Cent keeps on putting his 2 cents in. I mean, I know he's going to go broke. He's gonna go broke, honey. No, 50 Cent and T.I. started beefing something because, like, T.I. was on some podcast or YouTube series and he was talking about how 50 Cent backed out of their versus battle, which I forgot that versus battles are still a thing, but maybe they were trying to revamp them. And then that started some controversy. And then 50 Cent, like, I guess it escalated to the point where they were just going back and forth and 50 Cent posted a picture of T.I.'s baby mama, maybe wife.
We've seen that trick from 50 before, though. Coming after their like girlfriend or wife is such a 50 thing to do.
It's such a 50 Cent thing to do. And then T.I.'s son, who is super annoying, he's the most annoying kid on the internet, King Harris, he posted a picture of 50 Cent's mom's grave and he was like, "Come dig your mom up" or something like that. And I was like, "Oh shit, this is getting crazy." And then T.I. dropped a diss track or a snippet of a diss track today. And then he said he sent the full thing to some radio station, and I guess they're going to air it. I didn't recognize the 8 rate. He was like, I sent it to 107.9. I'm like, is this just the local radio station?
Hey, maybe.
It wasn't even like Flex or Hot 97. It was just like, yeah, send it to 103.6, The Wave. So look out, 50 cents.
It's the college station at Emory.
Wait. Who are y'all going to send your diss track to? I'm going to send mine to Jonathan Rush.
Ooh, yeah. Pod legend. I'm sending mine to DJ Tanner.
Who's DJ Tanner?
She's from Full House. She's the older sister.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to that. If 50 Cent, see, I really do have a beef. But 50 Cent seems like the person to where if you diss him on a record, he's just going to do something outside of rap to retaliate. You know what I mean? Like buy your apartment building or something. You know what I mean? He doesn't seem like the type to really be active in hip hop anymore. So this could be a huge letdown. But I'm trying to, you know, be optimistic about it. I love a good public back and forth rap beef. That was a really super annoying thing after the Drake and Kendrick beef is because a lot of people were trying to just start beefs out of nowhere just to and like keep.
Wait, you're
that,
telling me
like,
Joey Badass against all of California was a natural issue he just had with the state?
Yeah, he got a parking ticket in Sacramento, so he was like, anybody can get it. He's like, except for you, Gavin Newsom. Ain't that right, Adrian? And then Adrian was like,
Adrian,
did you see what
Gavin
Newsom said? Did you all see what Gavin Newsom kind of went viral for? Did you see it, Paul?
That's crazy work.
He went kind of viral for saying, like, I could relate to black people. I can barely read a speech.
That's not true.
Adrian, he said that in Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
What?
I got a 960 SAT score.
Are y'all sure you didn't get caught by AI?
No, that was real.
This man did not come out and what? No.
It's weird too that he specified a speech too, like, like especially like during Black History Month.
He ain't gotta read anything.
I mean, I guess, but like, I don't know. When he's like, "Hey, I don't even read the terms and conditions. I'm just like you, Black people."
That would actually be a joke, though. That would actually be something.
Oh, I'm just like Black people. I can't.
No
read
one reads the
terms
and
conditions.
Like, I mean, that's like a relatable thing. It wouldn't be a Black thing, but it would be something. Well, but no, his was just I can't read, just like you guys.
Yeah.
But I can't read a speech? What the fuck? That's just pure, like, that's not even, like, even trying to be a joke. That's just racism.
Yeah. That's my boss.
Did you write those jokes for him? Is that your job? You write the jokes?
I'm his joke writer.
But yeah, did y'all want to get into Media Roundup? I watched some movies on the plane. I love movies on planes. Like, even a stinker will be good. But I saw some movies I really hated. The Smashing Machine by Betty Safdie.
Oh, yeah.
Such a boring story. How did that justify making a movie? And it kept reminding you that it was based on a true story. And I was like, I believe it because nothing interesting is happening. What the fuck is going on in this movie?
Yeah.
Wait, Phil, do you know that wrestler?
When I was thinking Smashing Machine, I was just thinking me in college. Nah, who was it? Rey Mysterio?
Mark Kerr, he was like an early UFC guy. And it's not like that type of wrestling. It's like real fighting. Blue Moon, another stinker. Ethan Hawke had the weirdest fake hairline of all time, and it just had this like really poorly written dialogue. I don't know, man. Airplane movies aren't what they used to be.
Did you play any games on the flight? That's my favorite thing to do on a flight now.
No, anti-shout out to United. They don't have games. Really pissed me off.
Really?
I checked.
Damn. Delta has games still, but I played their trivia on the way back from LA about a month ago, and it was like the hardest trivia like ever. And I think Drake actually may have talked about this when we were talking about the Chicago trip when we all did a podcast afterwards. And he was like, yeah, the way Delta games work, like on trivia, once you get a question wrong, it'll just stay on that screen for like 20 seconds. So like everybody just sees that you got it wrong and you can't even exit the game. It's like, yeah, sit with that for a second.
Hold that L for a second.
Hold this L for a second. And then if you get it right, it's like, yeah, you got it right. All right, next question. It's like, what? Stay on the screen. Show these people my work, you know?
The flight attendant comes by and makes fun of you to everybody.
Yeah, they open a Diet Coke and just pour it on your head.
You thought Cincinnati was the capital of Ohio? Moron.
Yeah, when the plane gets turbulent, they're like, sorry about that. Phil just got question 7 wrong on trivia. I'm sure if you go look at his screen right now, aisle seat on row 24. Yeah, that shit's some bullshit. No, that's cool though. That's cool. That's a good, like, it's, I don't get it when people don't use the TV screen at all on airplanes, and they're just like, I downloaded stuff on my phone. It's like, you could do that for like 15 minutes, but use the screen.
Yeah, you gotta use the screen.
Use the screen.
If you got the screen. I hate when there's no screen.
Yeah.
There was an older woman next to me watching on her iPad. I guess she downloaded it, or maybe she paid for the in-flight Wi-Fi. She was watching a Twitch streamer play a horror game. I was like, that is such a funny move for a woman in her 40s.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, yeah. Maybe it was her son and she was just supporting.
That's kind of what I thought in my head. I was like, this feels, she must know this man, right? Like,
hello, my name is Tanya. I show speed. How are you?
Did y'all have any media roundups?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, what do you got, Phil?
My the only movie I have on here is a Cop Shop on Netflix. It's a new Gerard Butler movie where him and some other guy that looks like Johnny Depp, I don't know what his name was, they're bad guys though, and they go to jail, and the whole story or the whole movie, it's like a suspense thriller movie, but they're locked in cells the whole time, and then they're, it's just some county jail, but it's a really good thriller. But I don't know. It's kind of one of those movies to where it's like, yeah, this is copaganda because the movie is clearly setting up for like the main cop to be like, you know, the hero in this and shit. But it was a pretty good, like, I wouldn't call it like a mystery, but there is like some cool little twist in there, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I liked it. I like dumb thrillers, you know what I mean? And then as far as music goes, I listened to A Boogie's new EP, which was really good. I liked it a lot, and I was talking to Timmy Clasius about this, about how I like one song the most, and he listened to it, and he was like, oh, this sounds like the XXXTentacion song. And so then I went back and listened to that song, and I was like, oh, wait, this song is a rendition of the XXX song, and I just didn't notice that. But that happens to me a lot with rap music. Like, I'll hear a song or a beat where I'm like, oh, this is so good. Why isn't this more popular? And then I learn eventually that it's like their version of an already known like rap song, you know? Not that I would have known. I don't really listen to like XXX, or I never really did, I guess. But like, anyway, yeah, he had some cool music on there. Baby Keem's new album was super fire. I loved it. I like the one he had with Kendrick Lamar. Have y'all listened to it yet?
Nah.
Oh, no.
The YouTube algorithm's been trying to push the music video for Birds and the Bees on me all day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I got pushed that, too. That was a pretty good song, but I think the song that he had with Kendrick and somebody else was, like, the best song on the album. I forgot what it was called, but it's, I don't know. It's a sweet little song, but then, and then The Fall Off. Did we already talk about, we didn't talk about The Fall Off on pod yet, or y'all?
No, I just
right?
talked about the fact that you were going to bring it in next time you were in.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were right. I loved it. It was a great album. It was pretty long, you know, two disc, but it's, I thought it was great. There was one song that I didn't really, I guess when I was first listening to it, I was working, so I didn't listen to like all the lyrics that much, you know, but there was one song on there, and you may know what it's called, Adrian, but the one where he starts off where it's like Biggie talking to Tupac, and then the second verse is Tupac talking to Biggie, and he raps like them too.
Yeah,
that's like
yeah.
a really good song, and it's kind of crazy hearing Cole rap and like sound so much like them, you know? But did y'all hear the third verse though, when he did it from Louis Armstrong's perspective?
No, did y'all
hear?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, you did hear. Okay. What you think of that? Do you think J. Cole did a good Louis Armstrong impression? Do you think he has the best?
There's few people that I know in my life who I think do a better Louis Armstrong.
Mm. Name one.
Are we counting Louis, who's been on the podcast?
That's not an impression.
That's not an impression. Yeah. The Fall Off is incredible, though. I loved it. 10 out of 10 for me.
Nice. I went to go watch The Piano Teacher last night. Pretty fucking crazy movie. It was a hard watch, because the woman in front of me was blocking the subtitles. So that did make it hard to watch. But also... Yeah, no, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I was listening to some people talk about it today while I was working. Oscar-nominated shorts, went to go watch those for the animated. Shout out to Papillon and Retirement Plan. Those two were obviously the front runners. The other ones were kind of mid. I was
and we need Adrian's lock for what was the worst one that will win.
Forever Green. I'm calling it now. Forever Green is going to win.
Wow. Okay.
Multiple people in the group that I went to go watch them with cried at that movie, and I made fun of them mercilessly, and they got upset.
I can't think of Mickey a more Mouse Adrian way to handle people showing their true emotions.
Yeah. If anything about Adrian, he's not emotional at all. I watched Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die, a pretty crazy movie. I was talking to Christian about it because I saw him post about it. Really loses, it's a time travel movie, it really kind of loses it near the end, but the beginning's really fun. Overall, pretty good.
What type of time travel? Is it like, hey, just don't think about it, or is it like a really smart, like, obviously everything is very, like,
or is like
connected?
Inception.
You know, that's actually a good question. So it's actually time travel where time travel isn't super relevant to, like, understanding the mechanics of it, because it's one run of a loop that's going over and over again.
Oh, okay.
Where it really begins to lose is when you find out who the villain is and they start doing stuff and you're like, God, this really lost the plot. And then it kind of ends up having a predictable thing in the end in regards to the loop. But I don't know. Dorley's watching it right now, so maybe she'll send me her thoughts on it. And then the only other thing that I had was I have been, after arguing with white women about this, I don't know if you guys heard about this. I don't know if this happens in your circles. But a little while ago, in a little soccer game of Benfica versus Real Madrid, the game came to a full stop because one of the Argentine players called Vinicius Jr. a racial slur. And now the entire internet has come up to defend the opinion that I already know is not an opinion but a fact, which is that Argentinian people are the most racist people in the goddamn world. And so it is so nice to have the rest of the internet have my back now, where they're like, oh, I went to go check who it was. It was an Argentine player. Yeah, not surprised. And I was like, yeah, let's get this sentiment going everywhere, because there's some white ladies who like to argue with me about this. And yeah. I want the world to be on the default that we know who the racists are.
Is this of those things where it's like, is it a racial slur we know, or is it one of those things where it's like, we have to be,
he called him a monkey multiple times. Yeah. Well, allegedly he had his shirt over his mouth so you couldn't see the movements, but yes, that was
pussy
allegation. Yeah.
I love that shit. Trying to upset him without getting in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, it gives people just enough room to be like, we really don't know what happened. If you think about it, Vinicius has been racially abused everywhere. It seems like he's the problem. So anyways, that happened, and that felt vindicating. But
are people analyzing the shirt movements after he puts the shirt over his mouth to be like, you see the lips form the M?
You know, that's what's so perfect about that cover, is that it really does cover your lips. It really does do what it
he
needs to.
He picked up the right shirt that morning. He was like, I know what I'm gonna do. I know what shirt it's gonna cover it the most.
Remember when that those sort of controversies used to be fun, when somebody would just like talk about having sex with your sister and you'd headbutt them?
You know, that I think I've talked about this before, where it wasn't until I took a class in undergrad that I found out that apparently the allegation was that it was racism and not about sleeping with his mother. But I was like, as a kid, that is what I had always heard. Yeah. It was in Claudia Rankine's book, Citizen, where she has a poem about it being about Zidane's Afghan heritage. And I was like, I didn't hear anything about that. Growing up, I only heard it was about him fucking his sister. His Afghan sister. But yeah, I remember that like being the only time during Citizen where I was like, I don't know if this is actually the right narrative, or maybe I'm being ignorant. Who knows?
Yeah.
All right, we should probably get into the theme.
All right, I guess I'll bring it up because I was in London all of last week, so I've been they're really proud of their monarchy there. Well, not so much last week since you know, Prince Andrew.
That's your man's. That's... You go around saying that to everybody.
I did. But yeah, we're doing monarchy.
Yeah.
Monarchies. Now, when you say monarchies, what exactly do you mean by that? The King of Queens?
Yeah,
we've talked about that for hours. kings and queens and families that reign back to back, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm on the right track? Mm-hmm. All right. That's what's up.
You got it.
All right. So monarchies. What do we like about them? What we don't like about them? You know, let's chop it up.
It's crazy that it's like there seems to be a swelling movement that there are legitimately online monarchists now.
Yeah. Who's that guy? I forget his name. He's like the kind of Peter Thiel guy.
He doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does not matter. Yeah, there's some conservatives now in America who are like, let's do techno-feudalism with kings and queens. Let's bring back the monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
That's so wild. What power does a king have opposed to a president that's like...
You mean in a constitutional monarchy or in what system?
in like a monarchy. I guess it could be anything, because like in a constitutional monarchy, it could be like any level of like, you know, parliament or government versus the king. But
yeah,
like obviously historically, you know, God chose them. They have all the power.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay, well, what do y'all think about this?
What would one man do with all that power?
What is a king to a god?
It's a god to a non-believer.
They don't believe in
anything.
Louis Vegas?
All right, Louis is popping in.
Gotta go. Did y'all like learning about kings and queens when you were in school?
Not really.
It's one of those things that almost like presidents. Like, I have to know it because of trivia. Like, I have to know who King Henry and King Louis are in the 8th or whatever. But, like, it does not interest me very much at all.
That's what's the annoying part, keeping up with the numbers, too. It's like this.
That's hard.
It goes all the way to the 8th, and it's like, your dad didn't name you anything else besides his own. Like, he did that. Oh, did that 8 times?
With Louis, well, yeah, it's not usually like their dad. It's not usually just like their dad. Like, they could be the 8th because they're, you know, it's like, it just means that there were 7 before them. It doesn't mean like.
Right, right.
But Louis, we went to 16. That shit's crazy.
That is crazy.
It's a good name.
Okay, countries that have monarchies established, are they the same countries who are like, we are going to make this celebrity a knight or like a nobleman and shit like that?
I feel like that's just the UK, because they have like a monarchy that does nothing now except kind of that cultural
symbolic
stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I find that shit annoying. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? When they're just like, we like this, like Idris. Like, we like Idris Elba a lot, or we like Michael Caine a lot, you know?
And we like, it is funny when people point out like that somebody is a sir, when they're like, oh, that's actually Sir Elba, not...
Yeah, like, I'm never going to say that if I meet you. I don't know. Idris Elba is really cool, though. I don't think he was ever made a knight or anything like that, but...
Was he not? He seems like the type they would make a knight.
They may have. I mean, I guess it's cool. I don't know if you're a cool person, but I just find that
shit mad
corny.
Do you get a sword when you get knighted?
Oh, in that case, I want to be knighted.
Yeah. Do you think he was like, now what we got here is a product with inelastic demand?
You definitely get a cool swag bag when you're knighted, right?
You get an iPad. You get one of those little phone widgets.
That's one of those
you
things that
pen,
they always tell you.
You get a pen that says the queen's name, but on the other end of the pen is like an iPad touch thing for some reason. You know, it's really
cool. See, that's cool. Yeah. I want to be knighted now.
And there's a little glass piece where it's a little lady figurine, but when you click the pen, she's wearing a dress. Yeah. That was one of those things that you always hear about when you're in PhD programs, is that if you do a PhD in Finland, you get knighted at the end of your PhD. You get like a little royal ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
I think you get a sword. Yeah.
What do you think you would get in America if you got knighted?
A hamburger?
Yeah. I'm about to say some fast food, like... An Uber
Eats
gift card,
Burger King crown,
those little Krispy Kreme hats,
a Firehouse Subs firefighter hat.
You should get all the different hats from restaurants: the Dairy Queen tiara, the Krispy Kreme hat.
They give you one of those police badges they give to children. That's like honorary officer.
Yeah.
So y'all aren't tired of all this back and forth, Democrats and Republicans. Let's just get rid of them. Let's just have one guy.
I think we should have a god emperor, but not a king.
Emperor, okay.
Yeah,
I think we should have a non-believer. Wait, would the king dress up as a king with like a crown and like a big
robe? I think
that's
a big part of it.
Yeah, I would want them
to. Huh. So would there be like an appointed joker then? Like one comedian from the United States would be the joker?
Yeah, it's Matt Rife.
Ooh. I want Earthquake.
Are those the two versions?
If it was Tony Hinchcliffe, I would legitimately be pissed.
Oh, it would be Tony Hinchcliffe, though. If it was Trump was the king, 100% Tony Hinchcliffe would be.
He'd be so good at that job. He's already so servile.
Yeah.
Yeah. They want to get Theo Von, because Theo Von gets too political on his podcast now.
Yeah, it's true.
But Theo Von would be good at it. I'd kind of be happy about that. I'd be like, that'd be fun to have him up there.
Are those all the flavors? Kings, emperors, what other things?
Queens.
Well, yeah, but those are in the king-queen system. Oh. Emperor was empress. What was?
I could look up parts of the monarchy.
What other names did they come up with for that? Earls and stuff? I never really understood what those were.
Yeah,
like, what's the difference between an earl and a duke are? I think they're just like levels on the system.
There's levels to it.
I want to be a Mondo Duke.
Comped.
I would change my last name to Mondo and then be a Duke.
I'd be okay with it if I was the one in power.
I think that's how most people feel about it.
Yeah, it's...
I would be good at it. I'd be a
just. Oh, I never said I would be good at it. I just said that's the way I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, yeah. Only but everyone also thinks that they would be good at it. Except for Paul.
Do you think you would be better?
I was like, I just give me my harem and leave me alone.
Give me my hair. You can chop some letters off the end of that one, brother.
Anytime they're like, Paul, the servants are uprising, he'd be like, hey, when Paul's in the zone, leave him alone.
What's that children's parable, like the emperor's clothes, where it's like they say it's made out of invisible
fabric? Emperor's new clothes.
Yeah, it would be like that, but for everybody having to pretend my bad toupee looks good.
That's the only law you enforce. It's just people do not look at your toupee.
People have to pretend my hair looks sick and real.
And Paul goes for a swim every day.
And it falls off constantly. How about you be an emperor and you come out with dance videos every Friday and you call it the Emperor's New Groove?
That's an idea.
That is an idea.
You know what? I'll even say it's a good idea. I'll add on that.
And if you were emperor, we'd have to agree with you.
That's right.
I wouldn't want yes men if I was a king. I'd have a Republican in my cabinet.
In your actual cabinet?
Yeah.
You have Chris Christie in your cabinets?
No, he wouldn't fit.
Ah, come on now.
I'm a king. I got big ass cabinets.
I think I've become that type of stereotype where, like, as I age, I've become interested in history, and now I do think, like, knowing about really? Certain kings and queens that are cool. Knowing about them, all of them were pieces of shit, but...
Yeah.
I like Bible history a lot.
Oh.
Okay, so King Solomon fan, okay.
Oh, well, y'all don't know Noah's Ark? Y'all know this... The story, because there was one creature that couldn't get on board. Actually, Bible stories are so, like, batshit insane to, like, to read about, you know, like, what they said happened. I guess that's kind of interesting to me, but I don't know, just history in general. I guess, it never interested me.
Yeah. I'm definitely becoming, like, a dad who's into the History Channel. Like, I don't really know shit, but I know some highlights that I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
You were talking about propaganda earlier. That is one of the, not like a real issue that I have, but the Fire Emblem series is really big on, like, if you're a good king, you're the best guy. You're the dopest dude. You're the hero.
Anime really is
hero.
Like
you're
that.
The hero, or if you're a long-lost heir to a throne, then you're going to be the hero.
Japanese media that's about Europe is always kind of pro-king. They do like themselves. Yeah. Like the king is always the good guy being deposed by some, like, evil, wily figure.
Because it's just, like, even just the name, like, the king, you know what I mean? It already sounds like you're given way too much power, when in reality...
Yeah, T.I.'s son has way too much power.
Wait, DJ Khaled, when he said kings don't eat pussies, I'm like, well, I guess he's the king. I guess we don't have a say in this.
Yeah, no, I think that is the problem with kings. It's too much power. I agree.
Too much power.
All right, Paul, you ready to get into a column?
All right, so I brought in a pretty classic Miss Manners. And I like this one because it's actually somebody asking a very manners-based question. So Miss Manners, this is the Judith Martin, Nicholas Martin. This is the Triple Martin era where the three children co-write the answers. Dear Miss Manners, in a TV show about Prince Harry and his wife, Meghan, Duchess of Sussex, they describe the first time Meghan met the Queen. This was when they were still dating, so she did not have any royal titles. She was an American citizen, not British royalty. I heard that Harry told Meghan at the last minute in the car on the way to the meeting that she was going to have to curtsy to the Queen. The only thing that Meghan apparently wondered was whether she knew how and whether she would be able to do it well enough. But I always thought, even as a child, that after the American Revolutions, Americans did not curtsy to foreign royalty. Am I correct? Was Meghan required to curtsy to the monarch of another country just because she was dating the monarch's grandson? Does it have to do with what position one holds in the United States? For instance, if the president and his wife visit the queen, and now the king, is the first lady expected to curtsy? Or is it simply that American citizens do not curtsy to royalty, but instead show respect in other ways? If so, what are they? What should Meghan really have been expected to do?
So the
dapper up
to curtsy, if I'm not mistaken, that's to, like, dance or something like that.
Now Bow.
Oh, Bow. Okay, not
The
Dougie.
You should, but it's like a feminine Bow. You put like, isn't it like you put one leg behind the other? And
yeah, like, you do a little. You usually tilt your skirt or whatever. You like lift up your dress to do a little thing.
Yeah. What else could she have done besides, I don't know, like a magic trick or something? That would have been kind of cool. I don't need somebody to bow to me. Just entertain me for a second, you know? Show me a card trick.
Yeah, no, this is some bullshit. We did fight a revolution so that we didn't have to show respect to these people.
Is that why? Wasn't it about taxes and representation? You sound like when somebody says something about, like, we didn't fight World War II for me to have to learn how to speak French. Why am I doing that in school? Or German or whatever.
Okay, there was a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons was that they don't get to dictate our lives. I'll show them the respect I show anybody else.
Which is?
I mean,
I'll dap them up.
Say what up, cuh? I mean, I agree, obviously. I don't think you should do anything for some of the queen or whatever, but...
But I guess you're dating her grandson, so it's more of like a personal social thing.
How about that wrestling move, the D-Generation X, where it's like three of those things, you know?
No, that's a wrestling move?
Oh, well, not a wrestling move. It's more of a taunt in WWE. All right,
yeah, I was definitely confused about that.
I kind of stand with the magic trick. I think a cool magic trick, but you have to show me how you did the magic trick too. And you can't tell my grandson. So I guess he'll do it when I go visit my grandson and he doesn't know how to do it. And it's the same trick. So it's the same trick.
And that's a show of respect. Okay.
The show of respect. To teach me.
Yeah, but she was like, what, like 95? I don't, what would count as a magic trick to her? I feel like you could run really fast and she'd be like, where'd you go?
Oh dear.
That is true. Magic wasn't that advanced back then.
Oh yeah. Don't pull out the full Penn and Teller. Just do a coin for behind her ear.
I think if you're going with Paul's energy to approach this situation, then you gotta hit her with the too slow after you put your hand out.
Well, actually,
that's for America.
If he did something too magic back then, you could have got killed. So maybe magic is not the way to go.
Back then, this was like.
Yeah, this was 2017.
But
the UK is behind us.
The UK is way. When it comes to magic, they are way behind us. If I brought my levitating pants to the UK and I did my levitating, I would have got shot. My ops would have got me immediately. I'm trying to think how I would show respect to somebody that I'm first meeting. That like if I went to go meet my girlfriend's dad.
Mm-hmm.
I think just like. Everybody says like a handshake, like a really strong handshake. I would say like
a really strong handshake.
Like get into bodybuilding and try to break this person's hand with a handshake.
And that's a good point. She might find it like charmingly like American of you to not know what to do. Like if you put out your hand and you're like, "Nice to meet you, ma'am. I have good intentions with your son." Yeah. She might be like, "Oh, Americans are just so
Here's
cute.
Here's some shrimp and grits, ma'am." A windmill? A full windmill?
Why is dancing always your answer to how you're supposed to greet people?
That's how I greet people. That's how I greet my girlfriend's dad. I bust a move.
I mean, if we're going to be serious about this for a second, obviously you go with the kiss to both cheeks and you say, "I didn't know he had a younger sister." If I met the queen, the first thing I would say is, "Where are the corgis?"
I'd say, "Don't Diana me."
Okay, you do the courts. Is it a curtsy? You do a curtsy for the queen, but then you do a curtsy for each one of the corgis as well. Oh, you bring treats. You bring treats for the curtsies. That's what you do. That's clutch right there. Did I ever tell y'all when I lived with Patrick and his girlfriend, like, pretty much lived there too, and she had a dog, and this dog was so well trained, and unfortunately, Mandy and I. At the time, we just gave this dog so many treats and so much leftover food because we were working at a restaurant at the time. And it got to the point to where that dog forgot like most of the tricks it ever learned because it did tricks to give food. And there was one night me and Mandy were in my room and we overheard Patrick and his girlfriend arguing. And at one point you could hear her say, "Phil and Mandy ruined this dog." And I laughed so
Damn.
Hard. Hey, do y'all want to know what the name of that dog was? Isis. She named her dog Isis. And I'm like, yeah, it was us that ruined the dog. Yeah, it wasn't the bullshit name you gave this dog. That's Oh my.
Well, okay, there are people named ISIS. I don't know if you, yeah, but this, this, if you want to go super hard
this
on this.
This was like 2018 and the dog was like 2 years old. And I'm like, you had time. You had
okay,
time.
Okay, yeah,
to
that
think
math ain't
mathin'.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you were like, why is your parrot named Boko Haram? Can you just.
Yeah. It's like getting like a pug nowadays. Wait, this is Little St. James? It's like, this is not the time to name a pug that. Name him Eddie. Yeah, so
it sounds like you guys did ruin that dog.
Oh, for sure. That dude, that dog knew a lot of cool tricks, and we were like, you ain't got to do that around here. You ain't got to do that for these Slim Jims on it. We just want some pets. That's all we want. But yeah, the dog could, like, you could put, like, a treat on its paw, and the dog, like, wouldn't touch it until you say, like, get the treat. And we were like, if anything, that trick's kind of fucked up. I think that dog should get a treat whenever it wants.
It's discipline.
You see, and this is American in you, Phil, because you don't believe in controlling people like the monarchy.
That's right. Mm. That's right. Carter Armstrong, 2026.
You guys ever see that viral clip of John Taffer from Bar Rescue that goes around all the time where he's talking about social services and he says that a hungry dog is a working dog?
I don't care for that.
What does that mean?
That we shouldn't give people benefits because it demotivates them from working.
Oh.
Yeah, we should all do really hard work like John Taffer.
Hey, he saves those marriages.
He does. He is 8 for 8 in Marriage Rescue. He didn't have to make another season. He's good.
Wait, is it not like the restaurant game where they follow up and they're like...
It's like 50%.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah,
they
90%
up.
Of these couples get a divorce within a year.
Honestly, he should open up with that with Marriage Rescue and be like, I'm going to do my best, but just let you know the stats. He brings out a big pie chart that just is directly down the middle with his divorce and then saved. Wait, what would y'all's curtsy be for your partner's parents? Would it be like, hey, you can get one free guest up on Big Facts No Cap?
That'd be my curtsy? I feel like you don't understand what a curtsy is. Because no, it's not a magic trick, and it's not a we get one free guest on my show.
He did open with a curtsy
three
as a type
wishes.
Of dance, right?
Oh, that should be the curtsy. You grant them 3 wishes. I'll do fucking anything. I'll do anything.
That would be funny if you pretended you didn't know what a queen was, and you were like, so if I rub her, I get 3 wishes? What is this again?
I think an attempt at a curtsy, kind of like you said, Paul, like with your southern charm, like you don't really know what a curtsy is, you know, and you just kind of attempt it and you mess up and you're like, am I doing it right? I think that would kind of be like, oh, yeah, you good, honey.
And where was the suits lady from? Where is she from?
L.A. Yeah.
Oh, OK. So that southern charm, that southern L.A. charm.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, OK. What's that L.A. charm like? She would.
What up, Holmes?
Adrian can make that joke because famously he's a Latino man.
No, that was me. Let the record show that was me who said that.
Like, well, Holmes, I love that Bohemian Rhapsody you made, Holmes. That shit was tight.
Yeah, start giving her credit for every famous British band. Be like, for real, the Beatles were crazy. Y'all were wild on that one.
Yes. I jaywalked too. That Abbey Road thing, that was cool.
That was another London bit I did. Every road I saw, I was like, is that the Abbey Road? Should we do the picture? Every time I saw striped
did
paint,
you go to Abbey Road?
Like, should we do the Abbey Road picture?
Did you go to Abbey Road and you were like, hey, man, I'm on your block. Man, there's nobody here. What's up? Pull up.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
I did a TikTok. I was like, I'm on your block, Beatles. Nobody knows you.
That's my favorite 6ix9ine clip when he went to O Block. Like, more like, no block, ain't nobody here.
Did you see, though, that they had, like, the security footage? He showed up at, like, 2 a.m. for, like, 2 minutes. He hopped out of an armored car, ran up to the gate, took the video, ran back in.
A very smart, like, marketing tactic of him to do that. But that is funny that the security footage caught him. Like, I remember they asked about him on the Breakfast Club, and he was like, looks like you were there for 2 minutes. He was like, nah, I was like 15 seconds. I got out. That's pretty funny. Okay. So a curtsy is a way of showing respect, kind of like a bow. Real answer, I think a hug. Be like, yo, give me a hug. Where my hug at? That's what I would say.
No, yeah, yeah.
You become a where my hug at.
Where my hug at, queen? Where my hug at? I think it's just a handshake. A handshake is the most...
That's how you meet someone's grandmother? You gotta do a little kiss on the hand.
I ain't gonna kiss an old person. I'm gonna get germs from that shit. No, I'm gonna shake your hand. I will maybe hug you. I will extend both my arms out, be like, hey, and then if she doesn't go for the hug, then I swoop that right hand in, like, put it here. How you doing? And that's how you avoid any awkward confrontation and avoid germs. Would you kiss your partner's grandmother on the lips?
Is that what I said?
But if you kiss them on the cheeks, are you also going to kiss all the corgis on their cheeks?
Yeah.
That is how that works.
Or on the lips.
Sam Talent said it best. Most fuckable dog.
Yeah. I bet you kiss all the corgis first on the lips, and then you go for the kiss on the queen and see what she says.
No, you curtsy to one of the dogs, and then when they're like, no, that's the queen, you go,
Pull your collar. How about you do some donuts in the parking lot in front of the castle? It's a skirtsky. Okay, what are y'all's curtsies then? I threw out 17. Those are my top 17 curtsies.
I would do like a 45-degree incline bow.
I think for men it's different. We don't curtsy. Yeah, we do. We bow, right, to the queen.
Yeah.
Well, I don't do shit because I don't respect monarchy. I'm a little hardcore. I'm a little cool. I'm a little punk rock and roll.
Yeah.
Or would you?
You know, for y'all, you'd probably be too scared to disrespect
her.
You
would handshake her just so you could pull her close to be like, you sit on a throne of fucking lies.
I would put out my hand like I was going to shake her hand and I'd be like, psych. And then I would dump some tea in a harbor. Be like, that's what we do to y'all.
Yeah. Read and weep, bitch.
Would you try to make her laugh? Would you get like one of those little hand buzzers? And then when you shake her hand, it buzzes her a little bit?
Now that's a good idea.
Yeah. And then I'd be like, you want some gum? And she'd be like, no, I know what's going to happen.
I don't think she knows that one.
I'd be like, hey, why don't you sit back in your throne? She's like, I saw you put a whoopee cushion on there. You blew it up yourself just now.
You're still out of breath from blowing up the whoopee cushion.
You're like, no,
just sit on the throne.
I think if you can make her laugh, that's a good first impression, right?
I would start berating her. I'd be like, why hasn't Idris Elba been 007 yet? What's up with that?
Ooh. And she's gonna be like, well, there's a very specific reason that you're not gonna like to hear. Half of you is not gonna like hearing.
Honestly, if you just dress up as James Bond, I think that'll make her laugh a little bit. You dress up
cross dressing in front of the queen?
You dress up as an actual beetle.
You think she'll get it?
That's the thing. She's not going to get it, but once you explain it, she's going to laugh hard, my friend. She's going to fall off of her throne laughing.
She's going to laugh her ass off that damn throne.
Oh my God. And if her name is Jude, if you just walk in and be like, hey, Jude, guarantee banging.
If her name is Jude.
If her name
is Jude.
That's
a good idea.
If her name is Jude, you got to open with that.
Or if you're meeting Jude Law.
How many times do you think people have met Jude Law and be like, hey, Jude?
Too many.
Too many to count.
All right, should we hear the answer?
I think we already got it. Magic.
Miss Manners is probably going to actually know like what the Book of Manners says to do as an American meeting the queen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, probably.
This is her whole thing. You are quite right that American citizens, and especially American officials, should not show obeisance to foreign potentates, which is what a curtsy or bow symbolizes. Nor do British diplomats show this to anyone except their own monarch. Not creating offense is another diplomatic objective, and not only for professional diplomats. Miss Manners can imagine that this factor would prevail with someone who is about to meet her future grandmother-in-law and whose future husband has informed her of that person's expectations. So it was, you don't have to, but she's your mother-in-law, so you kind of have to, or grandma-in-law.
And you probably love your mother-in-law.
I think there's a lot of stuff that I would like say or even act like, or even like how I show respect to like a partner's parents, to where like I really don't mean it, but it's like I'm not taking a risk in doing these things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a million ways you show respect to a partner's parents. One of those is not pointing out when they say something racist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in fact, agreeing with them and then making a Facebook post tagging them, being like, I stand with Miss Betsy on this one.
Mm-hmm. You're calling her by her first name. That's crazy.
Miss Betsy. No, Betsy was her last name. Why do you assume that's her first name?
Why are you saying that like it's problematic to think that someone's first name is Betsy?
That's like my new favorite Adrian. Thing. It started with the guy who mixes up stereotypes. Why do you think I would like fried chicken? It's like, you're white, Steve. You can't just...
All right, you guys want to get into my column?
Let's get into it.
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, I'm going to class it up a bit. We're going to bring in the New Yorker. Shouts and murmurs. Ask King Richard III. I don't know if you guys have perceptions about or preconceptions about Richard III. A political advice column by Alex Sequig from December 15th, 2015.
Can I just say that I also ran into a column? I forget which monarch it was. Oh, it was Marie Antoinette. It was by Marie Antoinette. And I don't like this thing where you do like a joke advice column from somebody else's perspective and then don't try to copy their voice at all. Like it was her talking like a modern person. It's like you have to try to copy the writing and speaking style of the time, or it's just stupid. But yeah, Richard III. Okay, what do I know about Richard III? I'm not.
Was he the Lionhearted?
No, that's Richard I.
Oh, okay.
And then Richard II had something. I think Richard II got. And I think Richard III might have gotten got too. Damn. He might have gotten killed.
All right,
yeah, I think he was War of the Roses and they killed him.
Well, don't let the fact that he's been dead for 530 years fool you.
Rest in peace.
There isn't a more astute political mind around today than that of Richard III, the last Plantagenet King of England. Recently, we invited some presidential candidates to seek advice from Richard. And again, this is presidential candidates from 2015. I'm going to bring in the one from everybody's favorite surgeon, Ben Carson. Here we go. Here's the question. I am a doctor, and second opinions are part of the job. Hopefully you guys remember the gaffes and political jokes and Daily Show jokes about the stuff that was going on from Ben Carson's presidential run, because they're about to be referenced. I was wondering if I could get a second opinion on the following. One, the Holocaust would have never happened if the Jews had guns. Two, the Egyptians used pyramids for storing grain. Three, homosexuality is a choice. Four, I definitely won $10 for being honest at Yale. 5, the Affordable Care Act is worse than slavery, and 6, True Lies is my favorite movie. Sincerely, a certain sleepy brain surgeon. I wanted to bring in the Bernie Sanders question, but it wasn't really a question, it was just him saying that King shouldn't exist. Which is in character, but kind of boring. Y'all remember learning about Ben Carson?
Not really, actually.
He was one of my flashcards in my medical terminology class.
Really?
Yeah, he was the first surgeon to successfully separate Siamese twins, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was an accomplished surgeon, yeah.
I remember that name, but I don't think I remember actually like learning about him or anything. When did you learn about him? So like high school?
Are these all things that Ben Carson really said?
Yeah, these are all things he said during the presidential campaign trail or whatever, on the trail.
And when did he run again?
2015, so the same time that Trump ended up getting the nomination.
What does if the Jews had guns mean? Like, presumably some Jewish people had guns. What does that mean?
I'm sure a lot of people pointed that out, but I think he was talking about the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Let me look at that other stuff he said.
That is the first claim. Let's get a second checked on that first claim, which is if the Jews had guns, the Holocaust never would have happened.
But am I trying to answer as Richard III too, or am I
no,
I disagree
no. Richard
with
III,
that.
Well, yeah. He doesn't know what the Holocaust is.
Actually, the first time the word Holocaust was used was during Richard I's rule.
Oh.
For, I guess, like pogroms in London, sort of pogromy type things. I don't know. Jewish people were attacked in London during his rule.
And do they have guns?
No. Maybe that wouldn't have happened if they did.
Ooh, King Richard might have a bad take on this one.
Why didn't they have guns?
They weren't invented yet during Richard I's rule.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
It's a big limiting factor. Wait, Paul, when did you become aware of Ben Carson? Did you learn about him at any point in school?
Oh, I mean, I feel like he was one of the ones that Trump beat out, right? He was running again during like Trump's first primary with the Republicans. I think maybe that's when I became like.
And then he
really
ended up becoming housing secretary or something like that. What was it?
Oh, no, you know what it was? The JPEG Mafia.
Oh, Black Ben Carson.
Black Ben Carson.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Not the Brockhampton song.
Oh, I don't remember that song.
Ben Carson? It's a good one.
Do y'all miss being able to play songs at the end of the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a extra bit of work to do, but it was a fun little part of the pod.
Yeah, those are the goals.
I mean, we really still could. It's just Spotify that takes them down, but they've gotten so good at taking them down, we'd lose all the Spotify listens.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
All right, so how do you guys feel about this one? I actually do remember this being a controversy about him saying that the Egyptians used pyramids for storing grain, which is just him being dumb.
Yeah, that doesn't feel right. Like, aren't they famously tombs?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Why would you build such a big building for storing grain when it feels like something much easier to build would work?
You ever heard of a silo? They ain't small.
Yeah, but you don't have to build a massive stone pyramid.
Yeah, that's
to
true.
Be a silo.
And it's a weird shape to store, like, grain in, you know what I mean? Like, why would they get, like, a pyramid shape to store grain in? That doesn't seem like...
Well, because in the food pyramid, the bottom is where all your wheat's supposed to be.
They were trying to go by the food pyramid.
They were trying to do the food pyramid.
They have fruits
on top.
And then
Michelle changed it to the My Plate.
I don't think the pyramids are, like, particularly good for... It's not a warehouse, you know what I mean? There's, like, caverns and stuff, but it's not... mostly empty in there. It's not mostly hollow.
Yeah. I wonder, because, like, I don't remember enough about what was going on in the campaign trail that what point he was trying to make with this one. Like, it's easy to extrapolate from the first one. This one, I don't remember if this was just a gaffe or if he was trying to make a point about something.
Yeah, how does this come up? What did they ask him? They're like, what's your foreign policy? And he ended up here.
Yeah. Okay, and then what about homosexuality as a choice? That sounds like something he probably said in direct relation to policy about gay marriage.
That had to be during a debate or something.
Well, you don't know the full quote. It's homosexuality is a choice I agree with.
Mm.
Ooh, that's
and
good.
And I love
classic
it.
Liberal media cutting him off.
But then you didn't finish the full quote. Agree with on opposite day. And they were like, you know what? I guess we don't need a full quote. We can just cut it off.
It really is. It's the exact same message at the end of the day.
Yeah. I guess liberal media did them right. They just kind of punched it up a little bit.
I like that he had his own version of George Washington's when he cut down a cherry tree, I'll never tell a lie. I definitely won $10 for being honest at Yale. I have one anecdotal story about my honesty, so don't worry about it. I'm good to go.
He said, what, $10?
Yeah. That was a lot back then.
Oh, yeah, I guess that was. That was like $1 million back then. Does that ever annoy y'all when older relatives tell y'all shit? Like, I used to go to the movie theater with, like, a nickel.
Me and Adrian have foreign relatives. Yeah. They don't tell us that type of shit.
Okay. I only ever heard that at school. My teachers, who were old, would say that their parents said that kind of stuff. I would go to the movie theater with a quarter and come back with 2 dimes.
My grandma would say stuff like that, and she'd be like, I went there with a quarter, and it wasn't nearly enough. I never went to the movies again because I was too broke.
This was last week, son.
Yeah, the last week. I tried to go see the Avengers with a wheat penny. I got beat up. It's like, what are you trying to tell me right now, Grandma?
Do you need help? The Affordable Care Act is worse than slavery. You know.
Now, what could he be talking about there?
That could mean anything.
Maybe he means it's worse than slavery at efficiently creating cotton to sell, which is true.
I do feel like the liberal media is cutting off these quotes until, like, we don't know what he's trying to say, you know?
Let's you guys are really on Ben's side. I like this.
He's a doctor.
Smart guy. Well, I have to assume part of the slavery thing is that the Affordable Care Act, part of it was that it mandated having insurance. So maybe that's the point, is that the choice is you're making people have insurance. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sure there was a very smart point there. Who knows?
Mm.
Dr. Ben Carson, he was black, right?
He still is.
Oh, wait, he's still alive.
Believe it or not.
I'm going to say, like, a lot of these, like, white conservatives are just like, I'm sure most of them don't think slavery was bad to begin with. So, like, just hearing a conservative say that, I'm just like, all right, yeah. Like, I'm sure you think a lot of things are worse than slavery because you probably don't think slavery is that bad, you know?
You're right. The list of things that are worse than slavery is a long list to them.
To them, yeah, 100%. The fact that they...
And do you guys know this movie, True Lies? I don't know it.
I don't know that
movie. I looked it up. It's an action comedy from James Cameron from the 90s. Okay. I couldn't tell. Apparently in a BuzzFeed interview, he said it was his favorite movie. I couldn't tell if the point that they're trying to make is that he's a Republican, so he likes the alternative truths type thing that they were doing around that time, or like what the idea was. But yeah,
I don't know. My PolitiFacts needle on that one is true. I bet it is his favorite movie. That one rings 100% true to me. No lies.
Yeah, he seems more like a Rush Hour guy to me.
Oh, you think this was like a highbrow pick for him? There was like some really dumb movie he didn't want to he didn't want to admit was really his favorite movie.
Cinematic masterpiece.
He's like, don't say Wallace and Gromit, don't say Wallace and Gromit. True Lies is my favorite movie.
I guess I believe it. I don't know. I never seen that movie though, so
Put it on the list.
It's good. It seems like a good indie film I should check out.
Paul, do you have a favorite political gaffe or thing for the campaign trail?
A lot of people talk about, who was it? It was Ford who ate the tamale with the husk on in Texas.
Classic.
Ooh, yeah. That's a good move.
He tried to eat the corn husk.
I would, like, if I was a politician, I would maybe accidentally do something like that. Like, especially, like, in the South, like, because I eat my boiled peanuts sometimes, just, like, the full shell and everything, and just chew on it for a while. And, it, like, if I got photographed doing that, it'd be like, look at this dumbass, thinks he fits in the South. I'm like, no, I'm just a dumbass. No,
I'm just a freak.
I'm just a weird little freak-ass kid. I'm sure there's so many foods I've eaten incorrectly, and it's like, yeah, if you take a video of me doing this, it's going to look like I'm trying to fit in, but I'm just a dumb person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. The foreign dignitary from Japan is like, you take the edamame out of the shell. All right, Adrian, do we want to hear the answer to this? What would Richard III say?
Dear Ben Carson, thank you for doing what I'm told is good work as a healer.
I feel like I'm playing like a shopkeeper in D&D. I don't really know what an old English guy sounds like.
Keeping the humors in balance and trepanning and ripping twins apart and so on and so forth. Anyway, True Lies is definitely your favorite movie. As to the rest, I was an anointed king of England, so I won't dignify your demented attempts to troll me. Clearly, you don't actually believe any of that. You're an educated man. I was born in Fotheringhay Castle in 1452. Back then, our teeth were not so nice. Food also tasted very bad. I have nothing more to say to you.
That was a pretty good voice. That was a pretty good impression. You kind of sounded like the old guy from Harry Potter.
There's a lot. Do you mean Dumbledore?
Dumbledore, yeah. You sound like Dumbledore a little bit.
I was going for more of a working class accent, which I don't think would be right for King Richard.
Nah, he was a man of the people.
All right, we got a third segment?
Let's do it. Did you guys bring any ideas in for this?
Oh, I was just going to improv off the top, baby.
All right. So what I suggested was that we, right here, right now, we have some of the greatest minds of our generation, three great American minds.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to figure out which group of people would make the best American royals. So when I pitched this segment, I came up with some ideas, which was with the Kardashians. Would that be a good family for us? And when I say American royals, I'm not saying they rule over us. What I'm saying is that they're kind of like our version of the British monarchy. So they're like figureheads that just represent our country, and we give them a bunch of money for some reason and put them up in a big fancy house, and we all care about them.
I think you've already described the Kardashians, basically.
Oh, sorry. Are you going to go through the whole list and then we'll go?
Yeah. I said it could be the Kennedys, the Trumps, Oprah, and that guy she won't marry. Yeah. Who represents America? Who are we putting in a big fancy house and worshiping?
So for the Kardashians, is Kanye West included in that since he was one part of that?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. That might be my top choice just because I feel like he may remake the national anthem, you know? And he can make it sound really good. That's a big choice.
But what if he remade it like Yeezus style, where there's like a beat switch up and it gets beautiful and then it gets all like industrial again?
That'd be kind of cool at a sports game.
Even better.
Honest.
Yeah, I hate standing out during the national anthem, but if it was like six different songs and they all sounded like really cool, I'll keep my hand over my heart for that.
Okay.
So they're
what if he brought some of his modern politics into it?
That represents America.
But if it was all versions of Kanye's throughout the song, it was six beat switches, six different Kanye's. So there's going to be one section that's anti-Semitic. And you could sit down during that section. I'll sit down during that section. But I'm going to stand back up.
There's also a college dropout section, you know?
There's the college dropout section, yep. So I'll stand back up for that, you know?
Okay, so that's one reason to vote for the Kardashians. They also have that like dynastic element where it's like their children are famous, you know?
Yeah, it means we also have a trans person as part of our monarchy. We have a woman working to be a lawyer. We have, what do the other ones do?
Makeup business owner.
Yeah. I think that kind of represents the best of America.
Yeah. Is Lamar Odom? Well, if Kanye West is involved in this and he's out of the family now, that means Lamar Odom would have to be a part of it too, right?
So this means that they have to marry people from other countries to help solidify our power?
Ooh, yeah.
They're pretty desirable for marriage. People think they're cute.
Travis Barker would be in there, right?
Yeah, but we'd have to replace him with like a French dignitary or something like that. Some inbred dude from Holland.
Honestly, the Kardashians may be my top choice right now. But I'm down to...
Certainly not the Kennedys, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, not the Kennedys.
Yeah, only one of them is still relevant, so I don't know, they haven't really... But they have that sort of, what would you call it, that energy of elegance that maybe the Kardashians lack.
Yeah, that's true.
They got the old money. Were the Clintons up there? Were they allowed to be part of this?
I don't know, Chelsea is... maybe if it was, like, Hillary and Bill, but, like, Chelsea isn't... I don't know, she doesn't have the riz.
Yeah, there's one thing you need as a royal leader is that riz.
It's the riz.
I do like the idea of Nicki Minaj being part of like a royal family, and if she did the national anthem, and she would do every single voice.
Oh, that sounds like.
Oh, I could do it. I'm not.
I pledge allegiance.
And she comes with a rapist husband, which you know does fit into the mold of royalty.
Yeah, they kind of do fit right in, honestly, with politics.
And what's the deal with her brother? What happened to him? What's up with him?
I don't know.
Or her cousin who got big balls from the vaccine.
Oh, yeah. Good news stories to follow.
I'm sure that would change a lot of regulations when it comes to vaccines and stuff, which I know you're looking for, so.
Mm-hmm. That's what this project has been about. This podcast since day one has been about.
You're like, hey, my balls can't get any bigger.
Can't afford it.
No more vaccines for me. There's nothing really positive about Nicki Minaj and her rapist husband being part of the royal family for me.
Right. I think we should force all of the fictional relationships from Modern Family to be real, and they should take over.
Ooh.
That gives us a little bit of everything, except for black people. I don't think there are any black people in that show.
I don't think there is.
That's true. That wasn't like a later season arc when nobody was watching. The daughter didn't start dating okay.
Yeah, and Phil Dunphy ends up being super racist. No daughter of mine.
I'm trying to think what else would the... So wait, would they... If the Kardashians were the royal family, would the show Keeping Up with the Kardashians still air?
Yeah, of course. It would be on a national television.
Yeah, we'd get our
US
BBC.
One. Yeah.
We'd get
honestly,
AA.
This sounds pretty good to me. I would probably watch ABC. That. I would keep up with them.
I mean, in the sense that I'm not a royal watcher now, I probably wouldn't be a royal watcher then, but people would watch it, yeah.
I mean, they pretty much... Don't they have a reality show for the people across the pond? For the royal family?
I don't think so.
I thought they had a show of some sort. They didn't?
Maybe the ones that moved to America?
Maybe. For some reason, I thought they had a show at one point, but I could be wrong.
Who else could... We can't just land on the right answer with the Kardashians first.
That's true.
We have to put them up against somebody else.
Yeah.
How about T.I. and his son, King? He'll be the king.
That's actually not bad. They're also kind of freaks in that way you want royals to be.
I mean, T.I. tried, and he is actively failing at stand-up comedy. So to see somebody trying to be an aspiring stand-up comedian to be like the king of a nation, I would like to see that, actually. Because I think that will keep all these delusional open mic comedians to keep on doing comedy. Could be like, I could be the king one day. You know what I mean? Like, they would never quit. All open mics would just get so much worse, and I think that's exactly what comedy needs right now.
Do you think it's one of those things where if you go up before or after the king, you have to bomb out of respect?
You have to bomb, and then you have to curtsy.
You have to curtsy.
Well, that's the thing, is that in America, you if you're the first one to stop clapping after the set, you get shot, so.
In America, you don't curtsy, you shoot your guns in the air.
Bing bang.
Oh, that's right.
Now, what if our king was Ronald McDonald?
The entire McDonald's gang.
Yeah. What would the Hamburglar's role be?
Yeah, district attorney.
Ooh, I like
a man on the inside.
He frees everybody.
Grimace would be our Prince Andrew.
Oh, 100%. Heartthrob.
And then the chicken nugget chick would be our Princess Di.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm kind of liking that. I think we're getting closer. I think we're getting closer to a good fictional royal family. The McDonald's crew, that's pretty good. Any cartoon shows we could think of, maybe? And maybe, like, the Fairy Odd Parents could be the king and queen, and then Timmy could be the heir to the throne.
Is he their son?
No, but I like to think of it that way.
We force all the actors from Fast and Furious to get married to be our royal family.
Ooh, a familia.
A familia.
I think that's a little too diverse for America.
That would be tough because I feel like The Rock and Vin Diesel would not, like, neither of them would want to be not the king, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, how about just The Expendables? There's all these buff dudes in the royal family.
Who are the Expendables? I haven't seen the modern one.
The beauty of it is that they add people every single time.
We're all the Expendables.
Yeah, like Jason Statham was in there.
Jason Statham, Dolph Lundgren.
The guy who wrote it was the Rocky guy, Sylvester Stallone. He's the one who writes like the Expendables. And you can clearly see when you watch the movies that they're not well written. And it's like, yeah, I get why. So people was like, you know, Sylvester Stallone wrote that? It's like, I could see that.
I watched at least two of them in theaters.
They're fun movies. They are what they are.
The reason I put Oprah in there is because I felt like she might be somebody who, I don't, maybe she is unpopular with Republicans now because she seems lib-coded, but I felt like that's a person who would actually be widely popular with both Republicans and Democrats. Like, if we had to have a big vote on this.
Yeah, maybe.
Rachel Ray.
Oh, yeah. How about just all the cooking show hosts? Like Guy Fieri is in there. Even people to deal with restaurants.
We do keep making these polycules. Is that the formula? Is that they just become one family?
Yeah. We could choose. But it has to be like a subgenre of like shows or music. Like, it could be like a music label. It could be like Young Money in 2008. So you got like Drake, Lil Wayne, Birdman, Tyga, Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. Lil Wayne and Birdman already kind of have a thing. So yeah. That won't be a hard sell.
We're gonna have a Canadian in our royal family. I don't know about that.
Oh yeah. Ooh. How about D12, the full D12 rap group?
I think Eminem has really lost his cachet with Republicans. I don't think they're,
it's an awfully hot coffee pot.
But the thing is with D12, it's called D12 because it's just six of them, and then they all rap as their alter egos at some point. So you get like, it's 12, technically 12 people in the family. But some of them are very conservative, but their arms or egos like super lived up. You know what I mean?
Oh, I get what you're saying. Okay, so there'd be people who'd be like, I hate that Eminem, but Slim Shady represents me. I also want to kill my ex-wife.
The Everybody Loves Raymond cast.
I wonder why Phil wants that one to be the...
Well, not the cast, the characters in specific.
They kind of have the look are the girls twins in that show, or are they slightly different ages?
The boys are twins, and there's one girl.
There's one girl.
And the problem with that is that one of the twins is already dead. The mom and the dad are both dead.
Oh, damn. I was going to say, because the matriarch really works, there's something about that that is regal, and then the, like, fuck-up son and the son she likes.
They're going to get knighted, and he forgot the sword, and he's like, Deborah!
Deborah is kind of a like Diana figure because the mom hates her and wants to kill her.
Yeah, I think it'd be great if they did the Everybody Loves Raymond characters as the royal family, and then they had like some type of show. The characters from Everybody Loves Raymond, they make a show.
Are you trying to loophole a way for Everybody Loves Raymond to be back on air?
Yes.
Is that what you're doing?
That's exactly what I'm doing. Let's see. What other movies do I have I can think of? Oh my god, we forgot the obvious one. Adam Sandler and all of his buddies.
Oh yeah, that actually is good. Adam Sandler is another one where he does appeal to both conservative and liberal people. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the Adams family. I don't think we're ready for that.
I don't think we're ready for that either. But Adam Sandler and his buddies? I mean, unfortunately, Kevin James... No, actually, I looked this up recently because I was like, Kevin James has to be conservative. Like, I think I heard him say some stuff before. And he was on the Rogan podcast.
Don't do this to me. I don't want to hear that, man.
No, he's just like Adam Sandler, to where he keeps his politics a secret. And I'm like, that's pretty bad, too.
But I like KJ. Come on.
But yeah, he keeps his a secret.
Oh, yeah. I wonder what that means.
Yeah. Ray Romano is an outspoken Democrat.
I feel like Adam Sandler might, obviously he's not progressive, but he might secretly be like, I don't like Trump. I just don't want to talk about it to not alienate the...
Yeah.
I don't want to fuck up the bag, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
He appeals to like, literally the two like big spectrums, I feel like, in comedy, which is like old white conservative people who just know him from his old movies. And then like people like Patrick or Topher that are just super into like that nerdcore like comedy music stuff, you know what I mean? Like there's like that hipster stuff. So I feel like if as long as he never says anything politically, he's gonna get like sold out arena still, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, you know, I don't know if I would pay to see him, but I am like a fan of the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a king, we'd be putting our court jester as a king. I don't think that. Do you think on the world stage people would respect us if we had Adam Sandler?
That's true.
If David Spade was one of our fucking... No, we can't have that.
Oh, plus I think Rob Schneider is in his crew, so we can't have that.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, we haven't done sports stars yet. That would definitely make it in. Come Ooh. On, like, you couldn't see, like, a Shaq?
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce?
Oh, that's kind of perfect.
Ooh.
It's a love story.
They might put the Kardashians up for, like, I could see that working.
They don't really, I guess they do have an expanded universe. I just don't follow them enough to know who their whole crew is. But yeah, you're right.
She has like a whole crew of model friends.
Jack Antonoff is our bard, our national poet and bard.
Yeah, that is one where the national anthem's getting worse.
Yeah.
Jay-Z and Beyonce?
Oh, yeah.
They have the same thing as the Kardashians where they already have like famous children. So they have that.
Oh, wait. I think this is a good one. The original Odd Future crew.
The Loiter Squad? That's who we're going to keep
squad.
In charge?
The Loiter Squad is going to be the royal family.
Taco is going to be the jester, I guess.
Because you get Frank Ocean in there, too. You get some heavy hitters. He's a
very absentee member of our royal family.
Yeah.
He kind of comes and goes as he pleases.
I think the original cast of Jersey Shore would be kind of fun. If we ever got in a war, the mic guy can go up and be like, we got a situation. And just shows his abs.
We Another just person, is Pauly Shore still doing stand-up? I think all of them kind of went into like different sorts of media careers.
I think Vinny was the one who like really is trying to pursue stand-up comedies. Like he's touring and stuff. I don't know.
What is his comedy like? I just imagine he's one of those, this is the drunkest me and my friends have ever been guys.
He is definitely like a bro-y type comedian, but he was like one of the most likable in the cast. He never really said anything that problematic, and he was kind of more just like laughing through it and having a fun time. So I was like, I guess I don't hate this guy. But then Pauly D was like the DJ. So we could get like a pretty cool national anthem from him.
He was that type of DJ. He wasn't just playing songs.
No, yeah, he was like an EDM type guy. I think
I do like how we're making up our own rules for this segment, but the fact that we've established the idea that the national anthem will be rewritten by the new family as if that's a given.
Yeah, that's one of the rules. You have to rewrite the national anthem.
In the way that they have to rewrite it as God Save the King. They're like, yeah, everyone gets to rewrite it when they
Yeah, we've only had it for like 300 years. You can go ahead and just rewrite that shit. Yeah, Oprah. There's nothing about Oprah that I would really want to represent this country with.
I think Oprah should have to marry Adam Sandler.
Oh, commit to something, honey.
I think that's a good like way we could like form our royal family. One group of people is tied with another group of people because both of their leaders married each other.
I mean, that's how it happened in history, brother.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only way we're going to keep this country together.
Tina Fey and Adam Sandler marry. So we get all of the 30
that's
Rock
just Dems
people.
And Dems?
Yeah, that seems too similar.
That's true.
That seems too similar.
Okay, then. How about...
I'm just now realizing what a dearth of knowledge I have about celebrity couples. I can't think of any like big stars who are dating right now.
Pete Davidson.
King of Staten Island.
King of Staten Island. And so Pete Davidson, he's going to bring like some comedians, but really just like SNL people, I would think, right?
And it is good to know that our king has a big dick. That's important to me.
That is very important.
Wait, you don't think he's going to bring up his day ones from Guy Code?
Yeah, Charlamagne the God.
Charlamagne
Andrew
the God.
Schultz.
Ooh, Paul, I don't know how you feel about this one.
Ooh. But you know what? As much as I hate Charlamagne the God, maybe he does kind of represent this country.
Yeah.
He kind of does.
Unlikable, brash, full of himself.
Bald.
Mm-hmm.
He represents us.
Joe Rogan marries Oprah. There we go. I think I solved it.
Ooh, because Joe Rogan's going to bring a lot of conservative comics with him. All the Kill Tony guys, they're coming with him. Who is Oprah bringing, though?
Stedman.
Dr. Oz.
Dr. Oz.
Yeah, Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil's coming.
Gail.
Maury.
Was that part of the crew, or are you just naming daytime television?
No, she's bringing all the daytime hosts. Wait, no,
is she not friends with Judge Judy?
Our king has to be Steve Harvey. What are we talking about? Steve Harvey is going to bring other game show hosts.
Survey says.
Bro, okay, Steve Harvey has to be the king.
Okay, so we have a comic. Yeah, a conservative black man like Steve Harvey is a pretty good pick. I think that does a lot for a lot of people. I'm trying to think of who's like Mia Khalifa.
Young Sheldon.
Steve Harvey marries Young Sheldon.
Yes. I'm telling you guys, Mia Khalifa. Steve Harvey and Mia Khalifa. Ooh. That's a combo. Cool.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
A little favor to our friend Steve. Come on now.
He's going to need some bigger pants. I'm stuck on Steve Harvey. I'm not completely sold on Mia Khalifa right now. That's good.
You see, the problem is a lot of people say, like, Gen Z men are all becoming fascists. But I think if you did a porn star, that would do a lot to bring them back into the fold.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sold. I'm sold now.
Is that showing our age that's the porn star that we think of? Is there not that's a hot new one on the scene that we're supposed to know about?
That's what was taking me so long. I was like, I need to find one that wasn't popular when I was like a teenager and I couldn't think of any. I was like, who are the kids watching? And I just could not. I was trying to think of Adam22's girlfriend, but her name was not coming to me.
Oh, I don't know who that is. Oh, I don't know what it is.
It's a porn star.
It's like something The Plug. Like, it's like a show name.
Big X?
Big X The Plug.
Yeah, Adam22's girlfriend, Big X The Plug.
This is my ex, Big X The Plug.
I mean, obviously, the right answer is that this would be chosen via reality show.
Right, a lot of people compete.
There would be a competition.
So for
America's next top ruler.
So for the Kings, the five contestants are Steve Harvey, Young Sheldon,
Pete Davidson,
Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler. Do you want to throw Dr. Phil in there, or no?
No, I don't think he rep. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Throw out a sports star. I feel like a sports star would do good with America. I just couldn't think of who.
Patrick Mahomes?
Maybe Travis Kelce. No, I don't think people
LeBron
like him.
LeBron James?
LeBron, maybe, yeah. Mm. Who's the football player for the Patriots? Who is the Patriots quarterback?
Tom Brady?
They're going to say Drake May. I was about to say, isn't there someone famous who we already know who has like 12 children? Isn't there someone who already has a dynasty that we can lock into?
Elon?
South African. We're gonna make him a...
That's how they did it. They used to bring over the Germans.
Floyd Mayweather, I think, has a lot of kids.
I know John and Kate Plus 8 broke up. I don't know if we can make them get back together.
How about Young Thug? Because, Paul, didn't you mention how in every interview, Young Thug changes the amount of kids that he says he has?
Yeah, that was a thing for a while.
Who's a rapper that gets, like, in a lot of, like, public drama, like, more than... I mean, Kanye West, we could put him up there. We mentioned him earlier.
So then we're back at the all roads lead back to the Kardashians.
I think we got to lock in the Kardashians. They already created the perfect American royal family.
Or did we create them?
Whoa.
Yeah, sit on that for a second.
Wait, Keeping Up with the Kardashians featuring Steve Harvey. He's the host.
Well, we got to add a host.
We got to have a host somewhere.
Who are we marrying him to? If we want to be accurate, we have to marry him to one of the, like, 17-year-olds so that, you know, we're going back in history to when that's how they would
JoJo
do it.
JoJo Siwa?
Is she part of the Kardashians?
Oh, wait, Steve Harvey marries one of the Kardashians?
Yeah, so he can work his way into... Because it's going to be one of those things where we say they can be the royals, but only if one of their descendants is with Steve Harvey. And that's the line we follow.
And I believe I have heard Steve Harvey once say, Kylie Jenner, pull up.
Honestly, Kylie Jenner and Steve Harvey, that's a great celebrity couple.
All right.
Not problematic at all.
All right, so the Harveys marry the Kardashians. Shit.
We bring two great American dynasties together.
Oh, wait. Why? Okay, just last minute idea if you want to entertain it. Snoop Dogg, Martha Stewart?
That kind of goes back to my earlier theory about J-Lo and about J-Lo and Ben Affleck. It's like the perfect cringe for Americans. Snoop Dogg, Martha Stewart, that's like the perfect cringe for Americans.
Yeah.
All right, big fact, no cap, let's get out of here.
My big fact, no cap, is that if you have a monarchy, you gotta have a joker. You can't just have a king and a queen and a pawn and a horse and a bishop. You got to have a joker in there. You know what I mean? Lighten up the mood. And that joker specifically, your man Steve Harvey.
And my big fact is we had a whole Revolutionary War. We don't need no monarchy.
And my no cap is, Alexa, when I listen back to this episode, remind me to look into these conspiracy theories about Princess Di, because I did not know as much as Paul seems to suggest as this is going on there.
They got her limo driver drunk. And they paid all the press to take really bright photographs.
I'm looking this up because I didn't know about any of this. All right. Peace, y'all.
All right, peace.
Bye.